parable unto them to this end, or for this purpose, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me, or wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Amen. We know the Lord will bless the reading of his precious, inspired, and infallible word for his own name's sake. The old Puritan preachers used to talk about the key hanging at the door. And that is certainly true concerning this parable that the Lord told on this occasion. And when they talked about the key hanging at the door, they meant that its meaning or its purpose or its interpretation is found right at the very beginning of the parable. And this parable that the Lord gave concerning the unjust judge and the widow woman who came pleading her cause, seeking his help, the purpose of this parable is given to us at the very beginning, at the very commencement. Luke tells us in verse number 1, he spake a parable unto them to this end, or for this objective, for this reason, for this purpose. Here's the purpose of this parable. And so right away at the very beginning, we're told what this parable is about, what this parable was intended to impress upon us, what it was intended to teach us. And here it is, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. It was given in order to teach us, to instruct us, and to encourage us to keep at prayer, to persevere in prayer. And that's why I have entitled the message today, whatever you give up in this year, this new year, make sure that you do not give up prayer. This is the time of year when people make their New Year's resolution. I was out the other week and I took a photograph of my shadow, and I told some friends the other day, my New Year's resolution is to grow as tall as my shadow and to weigh the same as my shadow. That's my resolution. And so to do that, you've got to give up some things and put them away and have done with them. This is the time of year when people make their resolutions to give up certain things. And there are some things that we should give up. But here is one thing that the Lord tells us that we shouldn't give up. Whatever the time of year it is, men ought always to pray and not to faint. We should not give up praying. And so the Lord gives us this parable. What a parable it is that encourages us to pray. Here's the reason why we should not cease praying. Here's the reason why, as believers, as Christians, we should persevere in prayer. Now, there's a lot of confusion when you come to look at different writers and different interpretations concerning this parable. And the reason why they get into confusion is because they try to go into too much detail concerning the parable. They try to take the judge and find out what the judge represents and the widow what the widow represents. That's not how we should approach this parable. We should approach it in a much more general sense. The Lord is simply taking an earthly situation. This widow woman who came because she had been wronged by an adversary, she came in order to have her wrong rectified, to be put right, to be avenged. But the judge was unjust and he didn't really care for her and he didn't care for anybody else except himself. And yet because she kept coming, in the end, he consented to meet her need. Yet, verse 5, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me, she wear me out. And some people, when they go into too much detail in the parable, they get into a lot of trouble because they begin to set out as if this judge is somehow likened to God. But the Bible tells us that he feared not God nor regarded man. The only person he was interested in was himself. And so what the Lord is doing here is to take just this general situation in order to impress a spiritual truth for us that we might glean from. The meaning is this. If a wicked man, a man who doesn't care for anybody but himself, a selfish, self-centered man, if a wicked man is moved by importunity, how much more will God be moved by the importunity or the persistence of his people in the place of prayer? That's the meaning. That's the purpose. It is really not so much a parable of comparison, but rather a parable of contrasts. And if you go through this parable that the Lord gave, you'll find different contrasts that stand out, differences between the circumstance that is highlighted here and the case of the Lord's people. Look at the parable. This is where a widow woman comes to a judge, and she is a stranger to the judge. He doesn't know her. He refers to her as this widow. This widow. She comes as a stranger, and yet, because she is persistent, because she keeps at it, eventually he gives in and he says, I will avenge her. Well, we don't come to God as strangers. There was a time when we were strangers to him, strangers to God and to grace. But if we have received the Lord Jesus as our own Savior, if we have been born again of the Spirit of God, then we have been born into the family of God. And we are no longer strangers, but rather we are the children of God, sons and daughters of the living God. And when you and I as believers come to God in prayer, we're not coming like this widow as a stranger to an earthly judge. We are coming as children to our Father. Our Father who art in heaven. You can see a great contrast. There's a contrast also in relation to the character of the judge. He is referred to as the unjust judge. Verse 6, the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Now that's a contradiction. Because a judge should be just, fair, and righteous in all of his dealings. But here's a man who's unjust. And the only reason why he consented to hear this woman and to avenge her of her wrong was because of himself. Lest she weary me, lest she wear me out. That's the only reason. And so the Lord refers to him as the unjust judge who didn't care about this woman at all. But how different that is with us as the people of God, as Christians. We come to God not as strangers, but we come to him as his children. He is our Father. And he is just. He is righteous. He is fair. And furthermore, not only is he righteous and fair and just, but he cares for his children. The unjust judge looked upon this woman as a troublemaker. Though this widow troubleth me, yet this, because this woman troubleth me, that's all he viewed her as, a troublemaker. He wasn't at all concerned about how she had been wronged. She's a widow. She's already in adverse circumstances. Her husband has died. She's left to look after herself. If she has a family, to look after her family by herself. She is in adverse circumstances, and this judge couldn't care less. Wasn't at all concerned about her adversity. Wasn't at all interested. Wasn't in the least moved by her great plight. But how different it is with our God, with our Father, which art in heaven. Remember what Peter said, casting all your care upon him, because he careth for you. And the Bible teaches us that the Lord is intimately concerned with every detail of our life. Not just the great matters, not just the great circumstances. Remember what the Lord said? He said that every hair upon your head is numbered. Every hair. The Lord knows how many hairs are on our head. And for some of us, the Lord has to do a bit more counting than for others in that respect. But when you stop to think about that, what is that saying? That is saying that your heavenly Father is intimately concerned. He is intimately acquainted with every detail of your life. Everything, from the greatest to the least, to the smallest things. This unjust judge couldn't care, wasn't concerned, viewed the woman as a troublemaker, but not our God, not our God. It is his delight. He longs to see his children coming. He delights to see his children coming. He has bidden us to come boldly to the throne of grace, to cast all our cares, to bring our petitions, our prayers, our supplications to him. Why? Because he cares. And there's no one cares for us like the Lord. David said, no man cared for my soul. And sometimes that may be the case. At least there's times when we feel that's the case. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. But that's not true. There is never a moment, there is never a time when God ceases to care for his people. Intimately concerned. But think of another contrast here. This woman, when she came to the judge, she came alone. She had no one to plead her case or her cause. She had no advocate. She was poor. She couldn't afford the expensive fees of the lawyers who would plead her cause, knowing all the intricacies of the law. She came alone. But when we come to God, we do not come alone. The Bible teaches us that we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous. And he knows every detail of the law because he is the lawgiver. And the law has respect to him. He is the great advocate who has never lost a case, and he never will lose a case. Every case that he represents, every case that he pleads at the bar of God, he always wins. And when we come to God in prayer by Jesus Christ, and he is the only way by which we can come to God, when we come to God by Christ our advocate, we are assured of a hearing with God. What great contrasts there are here. And the Lord told the parable. He gave this parable in order to be an incentive to us, to be an encouragement for us to keep at prayer, not to give up prayer. And so I want, just for a few moments in closing, I want to look at these reasons why we should not give up prayer. And the first reason is this. The Lord tells us the answer here. He gives us the reason. We should not give up prayer because we are God's people. Look what it says in verse number 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Shall not God avenge his own elect? This is a parable of contrast. This woman was not related to the judge. She was a stranger to him. He didn't know anything about her. And yet her importunity prevailed, and her request was answered. But when you and I come to God as believers, as Christians, we must always remember that we are coming to one who has chosen us. Who has chosen us. Chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world. The Father set his love upon us and gave his Son to us and gave us to his Son, who went to the cross and died for our sins, who purchased our souls with his own precious blood, who redeemed us from the curse of the law. And now the Lord uses this wonderful description. Shall not God avenge his own elect? We come to God as his people, as his elect. And he will not turn away his people. He will not cast out his people. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I believe the reason why the Lord gave this parable was because there is a continual tendency to believe that prayer is no use. There's a continual temptation to give up praying, to stop praying. And we stop praying sometimes because our prayers are not answered immediately. Our prayers are not answered when we want them answered. We have to bear long. We have to wait. But the Lord reminds us here, when you come to God in prayer, you're coming to him as one of his elect, as someone whom he has chosen. Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. I have no inherent right to approach God. I have no inherent claim upon God's attention. But God, because of his sovereign choice, gives me this right. And this great privilege to be able to come before him in the place of prayer. This is a reason why we should not give up prayer. We come before the Lord as his people, those whom he has chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world. But there's another reason why we should not give up prayer. There's another reason why we should persist and persevere and carry on. We need to pray. And we need to pray because we have a great adversary. Look at this woman in verse number 3. She came to the unjust judge and she said, "Avenge me of mine adversary." She has been wronged. There's someone who was against her. And that hostility and that enmity that was in that person's heart led to actions that were unjust, unfair, and wrong. She has been wrongly treated by an adversary. And is that not a reminder to us that in this world, in this life as believers, as the Lord's people, yes, we may be the Lord's people. We may have saving grace in our hearts and in our lives. We may know the Lord. But that doesn't exempt us from great adversity and great trials. You turn to John's Gospel. Turn over to John's Gospel. And on the eve of the Lord's death, John chapter 16 and verse number 33, the Lord is about to be put to death, about to be crucified. He's going to be wrongfully treated, accused of things that he's not guilty of, falsely accused, wrongly condemned, harshly treated. He's going to be nailed to a cross of shame. And this is what he says to his disciples. Verse 33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have my peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." And that word tribulation there comes from a Greek word. In fact, the word tribulation itself in the English comes from a Latin term, which has the idea of pressure. Great pressure being brought to bear. And the Lord says, in this world, this is what life in this world entails. Tremendous pressures, tremendous adversities, tremendous afflictions in this world. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. This is what we can expect in this world. There is a great adversary in the moment that you stand with Christ, the moment that you side with him, the moment that you take him as your Savior and you identify with him, that's the moment when you will begin to realize the strength and the power of the adversary. The one who is against you, and he's against you because he is against Christ. And this world is no friend to grace. It's no friend to God. It's no friend to God's people. There will be adversaries. But we have this great recourse. This woman came to a man, a judge, who didn't care anything for her, who wasn't interested in her in the least. But her importunity prevailed, her persistence prevailed, and she obtained the answer that she sought. And the Lord is saying, this is why you must not give up praying. In this world, you will meet the adversary. You will meet with the pressures. You will meet with the afflictions and the adversities. And God's answer is in the place of prayer. He has given you this great recourse that you might come to him, that you might cast all your care upon him and receive the sufficient grace of God, his grace that's all sufficient. Do you remember what Paul said? Maybe we should remind ourselves in 2 Corinthians. Remind ourselves of what Paul said. 2 Corinthians 12. And he talks there about this messenger of Satan, this thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan, verse 7, who was sent to buffet him, lest he should be exalted above measure. And for this thing I besought the Lord thrice or three times, that it might depart from me. But the Lord didn't answer him as he requested. Instead, the Lord gave him something better. Look at this, verse 9. And he said unto me, That's personal. Paul has brought his problem, his pressure, his difficulty, his adversity. He's brought it to the Lord in prayer. And he has received an answer from the Lord. Wasn't the answer that he was looking for? He wanted this thorn in the flesh to be taken away from him, to depart from him. But the Lord said, Paul, that's not going to happen. Rather, I'm going to give you something better. Verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is enough. The grace or the favor of God is enough for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then he makes this tremendous statement. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In other words, he's saying, I have learned that it's because of my adversities, it's because of my infirmities and my weaknesses, I have learned by experience to bring them to the Lord in prayer, and then I receive the grace that I need to strengthen me to endure those infirmities, to bear with those pressures and difficulties. We have this great recourse to God in prayer. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. This is why we shouldn't give up prayer. We may give up many other things that need to be given up. But here is one thing we should not give up. Men ought always to pray. Why? Because we are God's people. We are his elect. And secondly, because we have a great adversary and we meet with great adversities, but God has given us recourse to the throne of grace and prayer to obtain the grace and the strength that will bring us through. But notice one final reason why we should not give up praying. And the Lord is telling the parable to emphasize this. We should not give up praying because though the answer may seem to be delayed, even denied, God always answers prayer. The woman came. She came day after day. Her continual coming, the judge says. And eventually she received the answer. And the Lord is taking that earthly circumstance, which is so full of various contrasts, and he is saying to us, if that's what a wicked person does, who's only concerned about himself, how much more will God answer the prayers of his people? Those answers may not come immediately. Verse 7, and shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? The answer doesn't come immediately. And we've got to keep on praying. Keep on praying. We are perhaps at a disadvantage in this age. With all the modern technology, it has its advantages, but it also has its disadvantages. And with the advancement of modern technology, it tends to make people very insistent. Everything has to be done immediately, instantaneously, as fast as possible. And I think it creates the disadvantage in that this generation no longer knows how to wait. How to wait. And you can see that. You see that. You go into a shop and there's maybe a queue and you're waiting and people start getting fidgety and they start to get frustrated simply because they can't wait their turn. But I think that we are children of our age because everything is so instantaneous now, so immediate, and it has robbed us of that quality and that characteristic of waiting. And sometimes in the Christian life, sometimes in the spiritual life, we can get into that impatient spirit. And we want the answer right away. We want the answer immediately. But sometimes the Lord bears long. Sometimes he waits. Isaiah said, therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And we have to learn to wait. It's God's prerogative to wait. It's his prerogative. But isn't that the reason why we give up praying? We maybe pray about some matter and we don't get the answer right away. And then we become like the unjust judge. In verse number 5, she wear me out. Get worn out. We get weary. And then we stop praying. Because we haven't had the answer that we want immediately. The Lord is teaching here. Though the answer does not come immediately from God, he will answer. He will answer. And he will avenge his own elect speedily, in his time, in his manner. And therefore we should not give up praying. The Lord will answer prayer. Keep at it. Men ought always to pray. And that sense is that the spirit of prayer should be cultivated. Not giving up praying. It should be regular. Daily. Seeking the Lord. I read this quote from Augustine. And Augustine said this. When faith fails, prayer dies. When faith fails, prayer dies. And I have pondered that. That's really a profound statement. When prayer fails, when prayer dies in the life of a Christian or in the life of the church, you can almost inevitably trace it back to a failure of faith. Failure of faith. And then he goes on to say, in order to pray then, we must have faith. And that our faith fail not, we must pray. Faith pours forth prayer. And the pouring forth of the heart in prayer gives steadfastness to faith. That's a tremendous statement. When faith fails, prayer dies. In order to pray, then, we must have faith, and that our faith fail not, we must pray. Faith pours forth prayer, and the pouring forth of the heart in prayer gives steadfastness to faith. They go together, they are twins, coupled together. And that's what the Lord means when he told this parable. That's what he meant when he told this parable, that man ought always to pray and not to faint. It is prayer that will keep us from fainting in the Christian life, fainting in our faith. We have this great privilege to come to God in prayer as his elect. We must come. And we must come because there is a great adversary and many pressures and adversities. And we ought to pray because God will answer. Even though the answer may seem delayed, God will answer. Whatever you give up this year, do not give up praying. Keep at it. Don't give up praying. What a privilege it is to be able to come before the Lord in prayer. Let's turn to our